Welcome back to the Rusted Culture Podcast. Did somebody say that Donald Trump has got a tiger by the tail?
I've got a tiger by the tail, it's plain to see. I won't be much when you get through with me. But I'm losing weight.
Well, it's true, folks. I think he's got a tiger by the tail, but he just doesn't know it. We'll find out a little bit more about that later. But one of the goals of this show that I've done throughout the years and in the weeks, one of the goals of the show is to simply slow down and distill the 24-hour news cycle into its core elements we as Americans that I think need to be aware of. The 24-hour news cycle, as you know, tends to bury yesterday's news and the day before's news. It happens on TV, it happens on your cell phones, it's a constant barrage of stories from news apps that flash updates on your screens to Twitter tidbits that float in, and then as quickly as they come in, they fly away. Sometimes we're happy to see them go, like the president's tweets. But among all of this, folks, I think the one thing that we do have to keep central in our minds is the fact that we just got a Mueller report that proved 10 cases of obstruction with the president, and it also peeled back the layers of how Russia, in an ongoing way, is getting its fingers, into our democracy in an insidious way, as if there would be a good way to get your fingers into our democracy. Well, the Mueller reports also detailed how they are basically taking over parts of our social media, so that while you're keeping up with your friends and family, you can get a little dose of propaganda from Russia in the same subtle, sneaky way. We heard from Senator Marco Rubio just last Friday that Russia is successfully, evidently, according to him and the New York Times, I think it was, Russia has successfully accessed computer systems of at least one Florida county government, and in that process, they planted malware in election equipment, manufacturer systems, and again, this is according to the New York Times. So they're out there, and they're getting into it, and a lot of times, these hackers, they just probe systems. They don't want you to know that they're in there. Who knows how many other systems they were able to compromise, but according to the New York Times, at least one Florida county government fell victim to this, and they don't want you to know right off the bat because they're saving it for when they really want to make the attack big. They want to make a big impact, and one Florida county could have just been the test for them, but Marco Rubio said that the Russian hackers were in a position to change voter roll data. Now, that's fairly significant because we haven't heard that before. And in this case, he's saying that, and he contends along with the New York Times, that the Russians were in a position to change the voter rolls. So now they're out there, and they're able to change the data. All this happening in America, folks. You wouldn't believe it if you didn't hear it here first. But it's in the New York Times, too, if you'd like to read it. But Marco Rubio, he also added that he didn't think that they did change any of that data, but they easily could have, obviously. And keep in mind that he is a Republican, and Donald Trump is extremely sensitive to stories that might just take a little bit of the luster from his election. So I can see why Marco Rubio would maybe hedge a little bit and say that he didn't think they changed it, but they could have. But when you look at Donald Trump, it's quite an amazing thing that we have going here. It's an amazing dynamic that's working for the Russians, actually. And Trump won't do anything about this election hacking for two reasons that I can think of. The first one is, if he does anything about it, it would make him appear to be agreeing that the Russians did influence the election. And secondly, they were helping him win. So why in the Sam Hill would he want to try to stop that? I mean, why would he want to stop that? It's a perfect storm for Russian hackers, folks. And history will reflect that this is a miscarriage of democracy. Not all of us can see it today, but I think in the fullness of history, we'll look back and say, why didn't we do more to stop this? But unfortunately here, Trump can't rise above the self-benefit to do anything about Russian hacking. It's the perfect storm. Look for that storm, folks, to become a hurricane in the 2020 elections, because nothing was done to stop what the Russians did in 2016. They're empowered. They're emboldened. They're emboldened now to do 10 times more than they did before in the next election. You can bank on it. Let's face it, folks. Let's just face it. If Trump could let the Russians do the electing for us, he would. Make it a lot easier, wouldn't it? We don't have an America, folks, if we don't have the power to vote as Americans. Our relatives, our families, our generationally speaking, we have spilled blood to protect the power to vote as Americans. We've spilled blood also protecting our democracy. The election process is a part of that. It must remain in our control. So tell your congressmen and senators to protect your vote by keeping Russia out of our democracy. Sadly, we can't expect Trump to do this for us, so it's up to you to push the issue. It's an important thing. But getting back to the Mueller report, folks, this is important too. What you're seeing playing out here quietly in the executive branch of our government, one of three branches, as you know, going back to your civics classes, and one of the three branches of the three, which are executive, judicial, and legislative, you're witnessing the executive branch attempting to disregard and overpower the legislative branch. It's a power grab. It's kind of a coup, unlike anything since Richard Nixon, in its constitutional clash that's happening right in front of us, basically, where Trump is basically, one, still refusing to allow the House of Representatives full access to see the Mueller report, despite the Judicial and Intelligence Committee's top secret clearance. And secondly, Trump is fighting the House committees from interviewing former White House counsel Don McGahn, or McGahn, basically, whose testimony, by the way, is not subject to the executive privilege because the White House did allow him to testify to Robert Mueller for 30 hours, as they say. But Trump is demanding that Don McGahn not testify further. And by the way, he's also instructing his accounting firm, which is Mazars, not to supply any information when they get their subpoenas or have received subpoenas. Don't supply them any information, he says, about his financials. And he's also telling White House aides not to testify. It basically everything. He's just not willing to cooperate with the legislative branch of our government in any form. Just today, as an example, Kellyanne Conway said to basically keep Don McGahn from testifying, executive privilege is always an option. They still might try to pull that card out. And they all seem to love pointing to Mueller's investigation taking 22 months and costing $30 million. But yet, folks, the House still can't see the full report. After all of that, they're not letting the House see the full report. They love to point to the 22 months and the $30 million, but you can't see it. That's BS. It's total BS. He's got a tiger by the tail, and he's just not figured it out yet, but he will. Outside the White House, I call him low-T Trump, said we're fighting all the House subpoenas, basically is what he said. He confirmed it. He says those aren't like impartial people. The Democrats are trying to win 2020, low-T said. But in reality, folks, the committees that are requesting the subpoenas are bipartisan committees. They're bipartisan. They're not all Democrats. They're not all Republicans. They're bipartisan committees. So this is a stall tactic, folks, obviously. I mean, it's a delay mechanism that low-T Trump is using to try and avoid all the lawful inquiry. It's not about all the... It's not up to how. It's not for Trump to decide how all this is going to unfold, what the House needs to see and what they don't need to see. It's not up to Trump. And the day that we've got a president that assumes he has power over the legislative to refuse House subpoenas is the day our government, as written in the Constitution, fails to work for and by the people. We've elected representatives, didn't we? We elected representatives to the House last November. We elected these people to govern for us and not to be overridden by a dictator, not to be overridden by an autocrat like Donald Trump. This power grab by Trump is turning into a constitutional meltdown between the executive branch and the legislative branches. And folks, we don't have a government if we don't have three co-equal branches. The executive branch must abide by who Americans have elected to serve in the legislative branch. And when Donald Trump defies who we've elected, he's failed a democracy, folks. He's failed in this democracy. It's a right afforded to us by the Constitution to conduct and to allow the House of Representatives to conduct hearings to get their version of the facts laid out in the Mueller probe. And basically, Trump is trying to power over the elected House of Representatives and denying them their ability to conduct lawful hearings. It's their right, provided by the Constitution. We the people have every right to see Don McGahn testify. We the people have every right to hear his testimony. And then we the people have every opportunity to then believe or not believe in that testimony. If based on that testimony and other facts and other testimony from other people, our elected representatives in the House can decide at that point to impeach or not to impeach. And just after all, who in the hell does Trump think he is, folks, here? I mean, who does he think he is to deny that right to every American, whether you'd voted for Trump or not? Who gave him the right to deny that to us? I can sure as hell tell you that the power to deny the American people that right sure as hell isn't in the Constitution. And I challenge Don Trump to come up and prove that he's got the power in the Constitution to deny the House of Representatives that right. Prove it. He's got a tiger by the tail, folks, but he just hasn't figured it out. Well, folks, stay right there. We've got some more interesting stuff coming up here. We're going to talk about low-T Trump and his attorney, Big Boy Bill Barr. So as this starts out here, when Trump called Robert E. Lee a great American general last week, in an interview that he gave with Mark Levin, and folks, I mean, Robert E. Lee was a traitor to this country, as well as one of the worst slave owners. In fact, Robert E. Lee was a man who broke up almost every slave family on his plantation, except for one. Broke up every slave family except for one. Robert E. Lee was a loser whose persistence in the Civil War cost countless lives. Countless lives. I don't think he's a hero. So this is the first little wink and nod that Trump gave to the white nationalists last week. The second was also in that interview when Trump reminded us that there were good people on both sides of the Charlottesville riot, to which Mark Levin prompted the president to say, "You mean protesters, not the Klan and neo-Nazis, right?" "That's correct," Donald Trump said. Rather than confront the ideology of the Klan and neo-Nazis, Donald Trump would just rather not deal with that issue. He'd rather not just deal with it. It's called a wink and a nod. The most egregious wink to the white nationalism came from Big Boy Bill Barr, Attorney General of all the people of the United States of America. Speaks for all of us, doesn't he? Well, he refused to keep a Coast Guard lieutenant last week accused of plotting a white supremacist terror attack on a huge scale, I might add, in prison. He refused to keep the man in prison. That's right, folks. Lieutenant Chris Hassan, who's age 50, of the Coast Guard can be released on bail now, as his case basically proceeds, and it's ruled by this judge named Charles Day, as I see here. But he can be out on bond. And according to an article in BuzzFeedNews.com, I quote here, it says, though prosecutor said Hassan basically still is a serious danger to the public, even the judge, Judge Day, added that he has grave concerns about Hassan, but the judge said since federal prosecutors, also known as the U.S. Department of Justice under Bill Barr, have not brought any charges related to any terrorism conspiracy, and they don't plan to, he can be released on bail. Which is just absolutely mind-boggling. Federal Department of Justice lawyers commented that accusations that Hassan was planning a terrorist attack were dramatically overblown. Dramatically overblown. Well, overblown? How about researching potential targets for mass murder and stockpiling weapons to do these mass murders because he's a white supremacist and has been proven that when they went through and scanned his computer? That's overblown? How about researching the names and addresses of Democrats in Congress? He wanted to kill Morning Joe and others in the media. That's overblown? How about researching home addresses of two Supreme Court justices, media figures, and leaders of social media companies? That's overblown? How about researching plans for a destabilizing terrorist attack laid out by Norwegian terrorist Anders Breivik, who killed 77 in Norway? That's overblown? In a draft email contained in filings against Hassan, he spoke also in terms of distinctly similar tones that are associated with the alt-right movement and the network of extremist supporters of Donald Trump. He said that liberalist, globalist ideology is destroying traditional peoples, especially white. No way to counteract without violence, Lieutenant Hassan wrote. He also said, it should push for more crackdown, bringing more people to our side. Much blood will have to be spilled to get Whitey off the couch. So it's hard to imagine, folks, it's hard to imagine why the Department of Justice had not brought charges related to any terrorist conspiracy against Lieutenant Hassan. That's a great question for Bill Barr. It shows how much we need a domestic terrorist statute, folks. We don't have one, and we need a domestic terrorist statute. Load T. Trump would have you believe the immigrants are the criminals. He'd have you believe that the Muslims are the criminals. Folks, it's everybody, everybody, everybody. But I'm saying to you, it's the domestic terrorism like this that you need to be worried about. Yet recognizing the problem is really half the issue, isn't it? It's half the issue. So stay right there, folks. We've got some interesting stories. Interesting stories. And again, I have to credit Poke Salad Annie for these. But stay right there. We've got these stories coming right up. Well, here's an interesting little tidbit here. Interesting as it is. Have you ever felt like taking a fake vacation? Oh, what the hell? We've got a president that talks about fake news and fake this and fake that. Why not take a fake vacation? Well, the company is called Fake a Vacation, and they're offering packages starting at $19.99 for service to superimpose the photos of a social media user in front of famous landmarks at popular vacation spots, including Las Vegas. How about the Grand Canyon? How about Hawaii? And maybe Walt Disney World? The packages also include some facts about each destination to help the customer concoct the story of their own fake vacation. The company cited a study that suggests more than half of millennials have lied about taking vacations for reasons ranging from last-minute cancellations, the high price of travel, and the desire for social media recognition. So there you have it, folks. We are in the age of fake. And evidently, this company is a Nebraska-based business, of all things. How about that? You pick your destination, they'll take your photos, and they'll put you right there at the Grand Canyon. Maybe in Hawaii. How about Disney World? Boy, interesting, interesting stuff. It's a fake world out there, folks. Well, here's another interesting story. I bet you didn't know. This is the question here. How many cups of cappuccino do you think you could make in 1 hour, and how many would it take to set a world record? How about 420 cups of cappuccino in 1 hour? And an Australian barista, she just broke a Guinness World Record when she made 420 cappuccinos in the space of a single hour. Her name is Liza Thomas, who attempted the record to mark the opening of the Returned and Services League of Australia's new social cafe on Bribie Island, Queensland. She captured the Guinness World Record for the most cappuccinos made in an hour by an individual, the record-keeping organization confirmed. So this is confirmed by Guinness World Records. So if you're living in Texas and you happen to spot a runaway kangaroo, folks, here's what you need to do. There's somebody that's missing their kangaroo. Constable Ray Helm of Hays County Precinct 3 said he initially thought the Facebook post he saw about the missing kangaroo was a joke, but he soon changed his mind. I said, "Wow, this is real," Helm recalled to KXAN-TV. The kangaroo escaped from the Trails End Ranch in Wimberley and was last seen in Summer Mountain Ranch on Wednesday afternoon. Helm said he's urging neighbors to keep a safe distance if they spot the marsupial. "I just don't want it in the roads or want it to hurt somebody. We have lots of animal lovers here," he told us. Roy Dale, the kangaroo's owner, said he's hoping the animal is recaptured sooner than later. "Oh yeah, I'm concerned. It's kind of a hard, like finding a needle in a haystack. He'll show up. If something don't happen to him, he'll show up." Well, his name is Roy Dale, and the constable is Ray Helm of Hays County. So if you see this hopping around, it's somebody's little friend, it's somebody's pet. Make sure you let them know about it. And I normally don't advertise anything by Apple. By God, do we don't need to. I mean, Apple's all over the place. They got more money than God. But when I saw this story, I thought this is worth bringing up. And how about this? An Apple Watch lost in the ocean. Well, it was found 6 months later, and it still works. Robert Bainter, he said he was at the Huntington Beach about 6 months ago when he caught a big wave. "A huge wave came in, and you know I was loving it, rode it, and then I pick up my arm and like, oh my God, what just happened?" He later recalled to KTLA-TV of the moment he noticed the Apple Watch was gone. Bainter said that he searched for the watch and he used the Find My iPhone app to put the device into lost mode. Of course, like we all would do. He said eventually he started to think that he'd never get the watch back again until he got a call 6 months later. "It's this guy saying, hey, if your name is Bob Bainter and you lost an Apple Watch recently, give me a call. And if you can describe this, I'll give the thing to you," he said. The watch was found about 3 miles north of where it was lost. And just think about that journey, folks. 3 miles north in the ocean, salt water, known not to be friendly with electronic equipment in any regard. 3 miles north of where it was lost. This guy was just walking around looking for shells, and he said he found it right there. It was a dream come true. I couldn't believe it. He said he was shocked to discover the Apple Watch was still in perfect working order. It worked fine. It didn't skip a beat. All the information was there. All the apps were there, he said. And I just can't believe it. Man, Apple, you're putting together some amazing equipment to be able to do that. You ought to find these people and make this part of your ad or something. But also worth noting here, folks, sort of an interesting addendum to this news item here. It says that electronics have survived some unusual ordeals. New Zealand National Institute of Water and Atmospheric Research, they found a USB drive that was eaten by a leopard seal. And, well, it still worked after being extracted from the animal's poo-poo. The Institute shared some of the photos and videos from the USB stick in this article. But this, if you want to look it up, it's the New Zealand National Institute of Water and Atmospheric Research. I might have to see if I can get them on the horn and confirm that maybe in the next episode. Let's put this one... I'm not so sure about that one myself here, folks. Found a USB drive eaten by a leopard seal. I'm going to have to talk to Poke Salad Annie about this one. And it still worked after being extracted from the animal's poo-poo. Poke Salad Annie, I think I've got to confirm that story. But, folks, here's a question that I've got for you. And here it is. I just am kind of wondering. What would you do if you were stranded on an island with Donald Trump, kind of like being on Gilligan's Island, but with Donald Trump? What would you do? Where would you go? Let us know by going to www.rustedculture.com and leave a recorded message by clicking on the left. It's free, and we just might put your answer on the air. So go to that website, rustedculture.com, and you'll see on the left-hand side where you can hit the button and leave a recording. So, folks, I want to thank you for joining us here for this episode. Always appreciate the listen. And I'm Frank Ebersold, folks. Until next time.